way. Thank God for it. Amen. Thank the Lord. I want you to look in Acts this morning. I appreciate the good testifying. Acts chapter 28. This is just on my heart, and I'll say some things. The Spirit of God helped me this morning. May the Holy Ghost be a help to your heart. Acts chapter 28, you know the prior chapters when they was in the storm and they got tossed by the great wind. And Paul got to pray and God told him everything was going to be okay. He's going to go to Rome. And then the ship would suffer much damage. And he said, but every life will be saved. And there's 276 on the ship. I've been thinking about that this morning. Of all them prisoners, Paul was recognized as a prisoner. And thank God he is God's prisoner. And I'll say this morning, there's nothing any man can do against you. Or if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yes, sir.
And I know in the text of that scripture that he's dealing with justification. And God justified me through his son, Christ Jesus. And if God's for me, and he is, then nobody can be against me on that account. When I look at this thing this morning here in this storm, finally they got to land. And if you read this thing here, we'll just pick up in the latter part of that verses in chapter number 27. The Bible said in verse 42, the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Well, that'd be certainly something that they'd want to do as a prisoner, knowing what the fate they probably held. And who knows what they was on the boat for as far as the crimes they committed. But it would be something they'd think about. But Paul, amen, knew that they was going to make it to land. The Bible said in verse 43, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. I'm glad for that. God's always got people in the position that he wants to do his will through. And commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and to get to land. And so he commanded them to do that. And notice verse 44, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. They got to this land. And I think I was reading this morning about this land. These people here was barbarous people, not because this were plumb heathen acting, even though they were somewhat, I reckon, because of their language. They could not understand the language. And also, too, I read that they did have a free little nation here, a country, amen. But still, Rome had their hand in this far as that country. And I'm telling you this in this hour. Thank God we live in a last day time. Brother and people, somebody said, they've been saying that a long time. Well, it'll be said, thank God that he comes. And it is true. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves. And all through that scripture there, Paul talked about the last days of Timothy, as Timothy was told there, that them perilous times shall come, and they are here this morning. If a man denied that, he'd be denying exactly what God said in the scripture, that God has said that there are perilous times. Somebody asked me not long ago, why is everything going like it is? It's God's in charge of this. It's set up. It's God's purpose. And it's going to happen. It's prophetic that these things, it's always been. I'm telling you this, sin's always been. It's just an increase and more manifestations of it because there's a lack of the Spirit of God. God showed me this week as I went and done that little old wedding down there, and it wasn't that little, it's good size. But God showed me that the church, amen, the church is not just the gather here. The church is the light of the world. The church is to let their light so shine. And I think what what we've done in the body of believers is we've secluded ourselves. We've gotten to this thing that we're separated so much that we're separated from what God wants us to do, that God wants our light to shine. God wants us, amen, to be around sinners. Thank God that our light shine, not do what they do, but thank God, how are they going to see it if we never are around them? If we say, well, I can't, amen, there's things I'm not going to participate in as an individual, but that don't take away the fact that I'm to let my light shine. Amen. That's living for God, having the Spirit of God. Amen. As Jesus said, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. We're in the world. Amen. He went amongst men. He did that. He loved people. He healed sinners. These people wouldn't, some of them never were saved spiritually, but they were healed physically. And Jesus helped them. He gave his life. Amen. Listen, if you read this Bible, friend, amen, Jesus, God, listen, he told us, amen, he said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Where at? In the church? No, in the world. Amen. The church, thank God, ought to have some light in it. Amen. We are the light. Why should I have to shine my light? Amen. The light's God's light in me. But the light should be amongst the world. Paul was in these situations. I told, thank God, brother, this brother last night, I said, listen, we're not suffering persecution. He said, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's not living peculiar. That's living like God did. Amen. That's living like Christ did. And it's not, my friend, thank God, a certain way that we dress, even though that's got something to do with it. Listen, it's living like Christ. And it's living like Christ amongst the people, amen, that don't want you to live like that. And when you live different, it'll cause some people to, thank God, to see it, and they'll go against that. But brethren, they crucified Christ. Amen. They cut John the Baptist's head off. Listen, all the apostles were martyred, but John, amen. And listen, they went, thank God, into the world. Why don't we, well, you ain't going to suffer persecution in here. Amen. The persecution's out there. Amen. Listen, we're not doing anything for God. If you are, there'll be persecution. Paul lived under that. And when we read this chapter here, brethren, listen, he said they escaped then and they knew the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And so these people were kind. When they got to that island, they was kind to these. Can you imagine all these people coming, amen, on this island? I don't know how many people were there, but well, there was 276 that escaped to this land. And Brother Danny, these people here are now, and they got a fire for them, amen, because of the present rain and the coldness of that day. And they've got a fire. And here, can you see this? Here, some swam, amen, was soaking wet. Amen. Some come on boards. That's the only board in the Bible I find, amen. But they swam on boards. Amen. Other parts of the ship they came on. And they had to be wet physically. I mean this outwardly. Their clothes or whatever they had on their body had to be aching from the coldness and the cold rain. And when they get there, what did attract them? There was a fire burning. And all these men no doubt got around the fire. Amen. The fire was burning low. And who went and got something? Paul did. That's the servanthood of that man. He was a servant. And brethren, I'm telling you, you do not have to tell servants what to do. A servant will do it without being asked. A servant will do it because he knows there's a need. And there's very few servants in the body these days because, brethren, they got to be told to do it. No man had to tell him, go get some sticks, but he went after them. The Bible said in verse 3, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire. God have mercy. If we ever needed somebody to go get some sticks and put it on the fire. Amen. When he put the sticks on the fire, it causes the fire to burn. Amen.
Amen. And the reason that the church, amen, has lost some fires because nobody won't put many sticks on it. Brethren, listen, there ought to be some stick finders and stick carriers, and then that's willing to put some sticks on the fire. If I see any kind of fire, I want to find it. If I see any kind of fire, I want to get in with it. I dislike the fire. I tell you, I like a fire when I'm cold too. Amen. I used to like to get by the fireplace. Amen. Back myself up to it and feel the heat on my back and warm my hands over it. Because, brethren, I don't like coldness. I mean, I don't like cold feet. I don't like cold hands. I like to be warmed up. I'm going to tell you what's happened at the house of God. Amen. We just ain't got much fire no more. Amen. The Bible said be fervent in spirit. Amen. The fervency of God. Amen. The fire ought to burn, thank God. Amen. That's what we need, a fire burn. Amen. It ought to burn in our heart. Jeremiah said it was shut up in my bones and I could not stay. Oh, there was a fire in my bones. It was this word. Hey, we need the fire again, the house of God. We got too much coldness. And the coldness begins in the heart. Amen. Well, we ain't been with the fire of God. Amen. That's right, brother. Amen. I get down to pray. I was praying this morning. And brother, I know when I need a touch in prayer. And brother, I got down to pray and got to praying to him. And I thought in my mind, oh God, you got to help me. And all of a sudden, I felt that inward stuff. Amen. Come up from my inward man and got to praying and crying to him. Oh, Lord God, help us. Somebody said, should it be like that? And I think so. Amen. I know there's times you can't hardly utter something. You're down so burdened and your prayers just can't get up. And God knows that too. Well, he even interprets the groanings of our heart, and the Holy Ghost takes up to the throne. And God, listen, everything the Holy Ghost does, he'll take your prayer and the very groanings of your prayer. But there'll be some time, oh God, help us. It will once in a while get like that when I'm preaching or I want to preach. I'm telling you, God's something. That's got to come out. That's just got to come out. Amen. That's got to come out. Amen. Listen, if you got something that's got to come out, praise God, let her out. Amen. I don't want you to shut it up. Amen. That little old dog we got, she ain't so little. Amen. We was out of town a few days. Amen. And she just shut up. Amen. From Thursday to Saturday. Amen. They opened the door to the lot yesterday. And when she got out, she got out. Amen. Brother, listen. And God, she ran like a wild dog. Amen. She just had to get it out. Amen. And when I got out there, I went on out a little later. And when I seen her, she started just dancing around in circles. And I said, she got something in her. She wanted to get out. I'm a tearing down the house of God. You don't hear much of getting out of people because it ain't in there. It's got to be put in there. But you're not going to get it with a cold heart. And you're not going to get it, my friend, with a cold life. It's got to be something in the man's heart. Ain't God if it's going to come out. And somebody, fair God, throw some sticks on the fire when somebody's got something to say. Amen. Have mercy on us. God, have mercy. Can't even get an amen in the Baptist church no more. Hard to get it. You know why it's hard to get it? Because you ain't got much. If you can't agree with the truth, praise God, I don't know what you'd agree with. Amen. That's exactly right. I ain't in this stuff when my favorite preacher's preaching or he ain't a preaching. He said, you walk as men and yet carnal. The truth is what we back and the truth is what he said. And Jesus said himself, brethren, listen, I ain't got the truth to sanctify people. And listen, I ain't got, if we ain't willing to get in with it, you'll never get nowhere. Amen. Listen, I ain't got one thing, we need some fire. If we ain't going to have no fire, thank God we need to put the fire out. out, amen, and find it, amen. That's right, because eventually it's going to burn out if ain't no wood put on it. That's eventually going to burn out if ain't no sticks put on it. It's eventually going to burn out if somebody don't do something with the fire, because the fire can't keep on burning without wood. And where no wood is, the fire goeth out. And when you ain't got no fire, thank God, amen. He said, y'all throw it in the fire, amen. That's what he said, old John Wesley, and that ain't in the Bible, but I believe he said it right. He said, if you ain't no fire in the message, then put it in the fire. Amen, that's right. And he said, I try to set myself on fire. Amen, me and Mike come watch it burn. Amen. But brother, he got out and the fire was a burning. And he went out and got the sticks and threw it on the, laid it on the fire. Amen, I mean, I like what the brother said not long ago. Thank God, he came and brother, he put it on the fire. Laid the sticks on the fire. And soon as sure enough as he did, then came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Amen. Then the viper caught his hand. I don't know. I mean, in my imagination, it had to be a good sized snake. And he grabbed him by the hand and wrapped probably around him. Amen. And listen, it was a poisonous snake. It was a viper, friend. It was a poisonous snake. And when that snake bit him on the what part of the hand, amen, no doubt he is laying the sticks on with. That's where you'll get attacked. God help us. Where you're laboring, that's where you'll get attacked. What you're using, that's where you'll get attacked. He will attack us. Amen. Listen. A lot of people today, brother, listen. Thank God they don't do nothing to get attacked. Amen. God have mercy. Amen. God have mercy on me. And the Bible said the beast fastened his hand, fastened on his hand. Amen. Listen, this morning, Brother Jonathan, the beast will attack you, but there's a purpose in him attacking you. You got to remember, all around that fire stood them prisoners and them other people that saw Paul pray, but there was also barbarous people. Amen. Them people from that land right there was watching, and them people were not God believers. They were God's believers. They were polytheistic. They thought that anything could be a God. They thought karma. I asked an old Indian fellow one time. I was preaching up in Kentucky and he was waiting on me. And I started witnessing to him about being saved, knowing Christ. And I said, what do you believe? He said, we believe karma. That's what he said. I said, what's that? He said, that karma is, amen, you do something good and that, something else that happened good to you. I said, well, we believe that's reaping, sowing and reaping. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Amen. I said, I tell you, listen, a lot of people's got a lot of different beliefs. These people here had no idea about God and about Christ and about the gospel. And when they saw that thing grab hold of Paul, a friend, they looked at him and this is what they were saying in their mind. He's a getting that because of what he done. How many Baptist people preach like that and teach like that? People say, boy, they deserve to get that. But if you got what I deserve, if I got what I deserve and you got what you deserve, it'd be hell. I'm telling you, there ain't much judgment passed when you pass it on yourself first. Amen. Nobody don't want to pass judgment on yourself first. Amen. That's self-righteous people. I was preaching them boys. I won't get into all this. I was teaching, been going through John chapter 2 when Jesus turned the water into wine there in John chapter 2. And his mother said, they have no wine. If there had been Baptists standing around, I said, what in the world is she saying that for? Amen. That was the culture of that day. That's what they had at them wedding feasts. And them wedding feasts wasn't just one day. They had it for several days according to the supply that they had. But brother, it's just the way it is. People don't think. They don't think. They only go by what they've only heard. And they don't know what the scripture's teaching. These are not people that know about Jesus. These are not people that know about the way to God. These are people, thank God, that knows nothing about the real God. That's why they said that man's a murderer. Look at that beast on his hand. That beast come out and grabbed him, and Paul, amen, shook it off. It was his immediate reaction when that beast grabbed him. He shook it off, and when he shook it back into the fire. Amen. Thank God he shook it off. And that's my thought. I mean, there's some things that you're gonna have to shake off. I mean, God helping us shake off. Amen. Listen, if you don't shake it off, it'll end up taking you down, if you don't shake it off, amen, listen, there's a lot of things in your past you got to shake off mentally. There's things that's happened to you. You got to shake it off. Amen. Listen, listen. Hey, God, if you don't shake it off, it'll haunt you. It'll grab a hold of you. It'll take you down. It'll poison you. That's what that beast will do. It'll poison you. Eventually kill you. It don't take long for something like that. Amen. But when people, all they want to live is in the past. And if you don't shake the past off, brother, I look back at my past and I thank God he forgave it. I'm glad he don't even have it on record. He don't even hold it against me. He don't even hold it against me. Not one thing I ever did. He don't bring it up. He don't bring it up. Amen. You might bring it up. He don't bring it up because he don't remember it. But a lot of people still living in what happened in their past. Amen. You know what? Listen to me. You know what past living will do? It'll bring bitterness in your heart. You'll sit around your house and you'll think about somebody that says something to you or somebody done something to you a wrong way. And what you'll start to do, you'll develop bitterness in your heart. And you'll start hating them people. You'll start wishing bad things on them people. And Jesus said no. He said no, you love them people. You pray for them people. That's the New Testament message. That was the whole thing about that water to wine thing. It's a better testament. It's a better one that's come. Amen. Now it's the new wine. It's not the old one. It's the New Testament. It's the new covenant. That's what Christ come to do. Amen. He changed it, friend. It ain't after I ain't got us him. Amen. That's right. You got to shake it off. You got to shake it off. If you don't shake it off, that serpent will take you, son. Amen. I know people today, they said, I failed so much. Brother, if I hadn't, God have mercy if God hadn't forgave me. Listen, I even asked God to take them things out of my mind. I said, God, just take them things out of my mind. I can't remember past yesterday hardly, with my own mental mistake. Amen. Ain't it something when you get old, you start missing out on them days you did 2 days ago and you said, what? Somebody said, you remember that? I said, God help me. I done forgot it. Amen. But if you think about, thank God that little league game you played in, you can tell them what you hit four doubles. Amen. It's just something that's been implanted when you was young in your mind. Amen. But now you can't hardly remember nothing as old as I am, 62. And I know I'm not ancient, but praise God, I'm headed that way. Amen. But I'll tell you this, friend, the past will haunt you. The devil will bring up your past. You remember what you did? Amen. You remember how you acted? You can't do that. Amen. Listen, you remember what you, look at what you did. Amen. People say, well, you ain't even qualified, brother. Ain't nobody qualified apart from Jesus. Amen. Thank God, I like what Brother Billy Mitchell said. He said, well, it says blameless. He said, yeah, it does, but it don't say perfect. Amen. Because if he had to use perfect people, there would be none to be used. Amen. Because the only perfect one's the one that lives in me. And the devil will beat you up with what you did and what you are, and you're not, you can't do this or can't do that. And if you don't shake that off and get rid of that stuff, it'll eat you alive, it'll take you down, and you'll sit there in a pew and not say nothing. Amen. That's the truth. And I've saw people, buddy, I'm telling you, amen. I went, I love this brother. A brother, I went to an ordination service one time. His brother was going through difficult times. And he, on the way home, he said, you know, God ain't never done much of nothing for me. That's what he said. He was in that, he was under that juniper tree type stuff. And I didn't want to say nothing back. But after a while, I just said a few things, you know, where I said, look, this is the way it is. This is just the way it is. Which it didn't help the matter. I've got a little older now, a little wiser, and I'd probably just let him talk and say, well, we need to have prayer about that. I'll just say that. Because I'm going to tell you what, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Do never judge anybody until you go through what they're going through. Put their shoes on for a day. Amen. That's right. You get the rocks out of your own shoe and you know where it's at in it. Amen. But I'm telling you this. When you're going through things and your past is still haunting you, and people said that, brother, listen, I ain't got, and you hold on to that, and you let that serpent hold on to your past, and a bat and biting on you and trying to put poison in you, if you don't shake it off, it'll destroy you. It will. So how am I going to do it? By the grace of God. Amen. I rejoice in Christ. Amen. Listen, you're going to have to shake it off. there's some things you better shake off in this life. You better learn, and I better realize that when something attacks us, we need to shake it off. There's sins and lust in us that attack us. Everybody's got weaknesses. Listen, the devil attacked him here. It wasn't up here. It was here. What was he holding? The wood with it. And he's going to attack you where you're working, but he's going to try to take you down in what you're doing and the place you're doing it in. And he'll do that. He'll do it any way he can. Listen, he don't care about you. And he sure don't care about the Lord Jesus, and he don't care about his church, and he'll do anything he can. Amen. If you got a weakness this morning, and you do, and I do, he's going to attack you there. There's things he don't even attack me with because he knows that's not where he's going to get me at. But he will attack me with Peter. Amen. He said, amen. He attacked Peter, and Jesus said, Peter, he said, Satan had a desire to have you and sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that what faith fail thee not. What was the denial coming? The denial was coming. And here's what a sifter does. A sifter gets all that stuff out that's in with it. When you're sifting something, and I ain't never done that. I saw my grandma do it. I might have turned hers a time or two. And it's more than that. You take a sifter, the way you put that sand in, you know how you get that sand down there at the seashore, and they pour all them buckets of sand out, you know, they sift it out. Amen. And what's left in there, you might get a seashell, you might get, amen, all kind of dirt and something like that. It couldn't sift through it. But he said that he desired to have you and sift you as wheat. And that's a wheat sifter there. And I don't know all about that and didn't really study on it. But I do know one thing. When you sift something, what comes through is the real stuff. This is what's left. And this is what Jesus said. He said, before the cock crow twice, you'll deny me. He's going to sift you. I found out, Brother Keith, in my life today, I ain't as strong as I thought I was at one time. Because I realize that my hand is, my life is in the hand of God. And what comes my way, the only way I can ever take it and face it is because of the grace of God in me. It's not me. I cannot do it. Amen. And that's why, brother, listen. People don't talk to me, brother, because, amen, they know I ain't going to pass the judgment on because I done been there. And I know who I am. And if you know who you are, you can help somebody. If you think you're above them, you can't help them. You can't help them. If you think you're up here and they down here, you can't help them. A lot of people like to hear people's problems. It makes them feel better because they don't have them. But really, if you're honest, you have them. And everybody has them. And the devil's going to attack you in a weak spot in a weak time of your life. And I'm going to tell you when he gets me. I'm just being honest. I'm going to tell you when he attacks me. When I'm tired. When I'm tired physically. He attacks me. So what's that got to do with it? Well, I know it's a spiritual battle, but at the same time, a weak body. You take somebody, listen, you have back troubles. We got several in here back troubles. When they're down with their back troubles, it's very difficult to read the Bible. It's difficult to pray. That don't weaken God none, but it weakens us. And the thing about it is, the devil's going to attack you in your mind. And he'll attack you in your life and he'll try to lure you. Amen. And when you're weak in that situation, sometimes he'll pull you to something else. And he'll take care. And here's the thing. You can relax in this. Your body can, but your spirit can't because it don't have no rest outside of Christ. But the attack of the devil gets a hold of you. Amen. You got to shake it off. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I can't get rid of it. It just feels like the devil just stays, amen, on my hand, brother, and I can't get, it just seems that way. And I know Paul said I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me, and I know that. But sometimes I feel so weak and I can't even shake it off. Amen, go days sometime like that. Taunting and hindering my mind and my thoughts. Even got down to the place in my Christian life before, amen, they're so weak and wondering and said to God, God, am I yours? Am I called? What in the world's going on? I don't know what to do. Hey, listen, don't ever think you can't get there because you can. Yes, amen. One of the men that thank God Jesus used more as anybody was a man that got in prison one day, and he asked him, he said, is he really the Christ, or do we look for another? He let the devil beat him up down there in prison. He let him do it, brother. Listen, that buffet of Satan is sent from God. I mean, he said God sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me that I wouldn't be lifted up above measure. That's what he said. That he said that I might be weakened, that I can be strong, that I might, amen, be humble, that he might exalt me in everything I go through. Amen. Listen, there's nothing wrong with admitting that you got weaknesses. Now, I'm going to tell you, the people that fall hard, listen to me, I'm about through. The people that fall hard are the people that think they never will. The people that fall hard are people who say, I'm not as bad as he is. Listen, Paul said, he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. You got a battle with something this morning? You do. It might not be raging right now, but it will. I'm so careful in what I say. The devil don't know what I think and what's in my heart, but he knows what I say. That's why I'm careful what I say. Listen, I'm not superstitious, okay? I'm not superstitious. I don't care if 10 black cats run in front of me. It don't bother me about, thank God, a rabbit's feet and all that four-leaf clover and all that mess. Ain't nothing in it. It's stubble. It ain't no good. But I will say this. I'm careful and I'm aware of the words that I speak. Me and my wife, we was going one night. We was going somewhere. I think I better hear Brother Hobson. And I said something about a deer. I said, boy, there's a lot of deer up here. There's got to be a lot of deer up here. It wasn't another mile, son, that deer jumped right there. He said, you think something's in there? I don't know. I'm just careful what I say. I ain't going to say, I don't want the devil to hear me. I don't have no problem with that. Right then you will. I don't want the devil to say, I don't say this. God have mercy, I don't want to say it. I would never do that. You would do it before midnight if God lifted his grace up. That's right. Peter said, I never would offend you. I never would do that. Amen. Buddy, you better be careful what you say. I know some good men. I mean some good men. But they ain't none of them infallible. Ain't none of them infallible. That no matter who they are. They might appear righteous before men, but behind the closed doors, they struggling like you and me are. Everybody puts their pants on the same way. Every man does. And brethren, listen, when Cornelius fell on the ground, Peter had enough sense to say, get up. He said, I'm just a man like you are. That's what he said. You say, what you doing, Prem? Trying to help you. The only victory we'll have is when we shake it off by the help of God. You shook it back in the fire. Amen. Listen, I'm about through here. Notice what they said. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast in verse 4 hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. This man's a murderer. This beast. Listen, if everything happened to me happened because of what I've done, I wouldn't even be alive. Amen. There are some things God does chasing. Most chastened, if I can say this, most chastened is inward, because that's where the problem is. He can flog you inside and nobody else see it but just you and him. When I spanked my children, I took them to their room and closed the door. That was between me and them. I didn't do it at church. I just said, well, you're going to get one when you get home. I don't do that. I didn't use my hand on them. I'm not saying that's up to you. I don't think y'all to use your hand. That's why I said use the rod. My mama used it once in a while anyhow. Fly swat, switch, whatever she could grab. I don't blame her. I'd use something stronger than that the way I was. God have mercy. But are you hearing me today? All chastisement is not outward appearance of it. I'll prove it to you. When Peter denied the Lord, what did Jesus do when the cock crowed and he knew he denied him? He looked at him. What did he do? He wept. Do you think that transpired in his heart? I denied him what he said I'd do. He remembered the words of God and he wept. He didn't send him, praise God, and be whipped by a bunch of Roman soldiers. But I'm going to tell you one thing, there is evidence sometime on the outside that we have to check up in our own life that why this is happening might be because of that, but this wasn't Paul's case. It was an attack that God might prove his power over them other people that was there in that island, that God get glory, and he would see the power of God on Paul. Amen, and thank God Paul would manifest the power of God in his life. You ain't going to listen. You can live as careful as you want to, but brother, there's going to be times God's going to put you right in the middle of it. And he said, what you doing going to do now? You're going to shake him off. Notice what he said here. He said, he bit a beast. Hold on. He said, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. He said, he's going to die. Notice this. I don't say that I got all this, but verse 5 said he shook off the beast into the fire, and notice, felt no harm. No, it didn't hurt him. He shook the beast off, it didn't hurt him. Verse 6, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. Now I'm going to say this, and you hear me gladly. I believe people attend the house or the place we worship. I believe if you can, you ought to attend it. But just because you do that don't mean they're going to change their mind. They ain't going to change their mind because they see you carrying a Bible. They ain't going to change their mind. And there's a lot of things you can say in that thing, and people say, well, I go to the church. Well, I praise God for it, but that ain't going to change people's mind. They're going to have to visibly see some evidence in your life that's got power to it that God's done for you that, hey, no man could done. Here's what Lester Roloff said, and I love it. He said, when I die, I want them to say that no way Lester could have done that, what he did, why he lived, it had to be God. They're going to have to see God. Every false religion goes to a building. They carry their own book. That don't mean nothing to them. And I'm sorry, but that's only meant something to the people of God. But if a man's going, if that crowd that don't know God, if that crowd that don't know God that was watching Paul and he didn't fall down dead, and they said, he's not a murderer, he's a God. Little G, because that's what they believed in. But I'm telling you this, God opened the door right there because Paul, thank God, miraculously was healed and wasn't hurt. And brother, listen, they changed their minds. The reason people ain't changing their minds, what they see in us, is because they ain't seen no manifestation or evidence. Thank God, there's a supernatural work. Notice this. After that, he healed that man, that chief. He healed him. Paul healed him. He healed his family members. Prayed over them, laying hands on them. Why don't the church have some acts, use what God's given them? It's because we are in unbelief. Nobody ever says, preacher, I'd like for you and some spiritual men to lay hands on me and pray over me. You don't hear that no more. That's charismatic to the Baptist church, but it ain't to the Bible. They done that. That's in the Bible. He even said over there in one place that they laid hands, the Presbyterian laid hands on them people. Amen. And they got to the, thank God, exercised the gift of the Holy Ghost. It ain't no more. We're so stiff and lettered, and it ain't no freedom, it ain't no faith, and it ain't no belief, and the pastor says everything, and brethren, I'm telling you what it's done is shut the mouth of the church. And I told any preacher in here, if you got something on your heart, praise God, and you know it's from God, I'll give you the pulpit and let you preach it. It don't have to be me. I'm just preaching what I felt like the Lord wanted me to this morning, but I'm telling you what, if we ever going to see people change their minds the way we talk about our God, not only what we say, they got to see the evidence in our lives. Yes. And it might take a while. It might take a while. And I'm going to tell you what, after a while, they'll say, that man there's got something. He's got something. He's got something. That's right. And I want what he's got. Amen. That's right. Salt creates thirst. I mean, I don't like eating popcorn without salt. I wouldn't even eat it. What does popcorn with salt on to do? Says, get me something to drink. Salt creates thirst. Salt in a man's life, it'll create thirst for somebody to have what they got. And the thing of it is, the salt of the earth is a preserver. It's a preserver. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Hey, he told his men that. If this word is not applicable, and we can't make application, why we even got a Bible? The application of that is, we're the salt of the earth, and we ought to thank God and live a life, amen, that would cause people to want what we got. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Amen. What beast is hanging on your hand this morning? Is it the past? Is it some sin? Amen. What is it? Thank God that's going to end up costing, amen, your life before you know it. And you need to shake it off this morning. And God will help you get it off. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray you'd help me, Lord. First of all, help me. God, help